All right, so our classes will stay in this morning rather than the habitual phrase, our classes can be dismissed. So just a report. 3 weeks ago on the Lord's Day, we were in France and were there the previous week with OIC. I even wore one of my official shirts today with the logo on it, OIC, Instruction in Biblical Counseling, or Instruction, Overseas Instruction in Counseling. And I really, really, really considered not doing a report this year. I thought, you know, this is the third or fourth time we've done this, and they've heard similar reports before. But I changed my mind on that because this particular trip, this fourth module that we did, has some unique facets that I think you ought to hear, since you are involved in what's going on there with OIC in France. Apart from you, I wouldn't be there. Apart from you, at least what I was doing there wouldn't be happening. And this particular fourth module was kind of unique in some ways that you'll see. And I just want to say to you, and thanks to you, significant kingdom things are happening in a suburb south of Paris because of the Lord and because of you. It's astounding. It's exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And I want you to hear about that because our ministry there is an extension of Grace Baptist Church. And so I'm glad to give this report, actually, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you and informative to you. Here's the first thing that I want to say in this report this morning. I want to say, merci, thank you. And I want to say, thanks be to God and thanks be to you here at Grace Baptist Church. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of mine and Jane's heart. Because I wouldn't have a single solitary toenail in France if you hadn't allowed me to go. I wouldn't have had a little tiny little toenail in France if you hadn't given us the means and support to go. I couldn't lift a feather in France apart from your support and your prayer. So thanks to you. Thanks be to God, and thanks be to you. You've seen these slides before, but this is a review about OIC, Overseas Instruction and Counseling. OIC strives to bring the word of truth across cultures by training men and women in biblical-based soul care for two major reasons. One, so they then can minister to others. But secondly, so they can also train others. You're going to see one particular key man coming up over and over again, a particular key man, a particular key woman, actually, in these slides. But that's the goal. So these men and women can give biblical counseling to others around them where they live, and they can then train others to do so. It's that second part that is so exciting and so amazing of what the Lord has allowed to take root in this little group we've been working with in France. They have taken the challenge, they've taken the ball, and they are running with it. And praise be to God, and thanks be to you for what they're doing there. The mission of OIC is this: strengthening churches around the world through biblical counseling. There's a worldwide need for training pastors and Christian leaders who desire to counsel biblically. And Overseas Instruction and Counseling exists to provide quality training in biblical counseling so that international church leaders are equipped to faithfully carry on the practice of training believers to be compassionate, humble, and wise biblical counselors. That's always our thrust. What we do in OIC is always grounded in the local church. We want at least one pastor there, or as many pastors as are willing to come to receive the training, so they can then share that and train in their churches as well. So that's where it's grounded. Once OIC is committed to train in a region, the curriculum, the OIC curriculum, and let's, oh, I forgot that bag. I forgot one bag. I wanted to show you the material I was using to do the training, and I picked up one bag and left the other, I think. Or is that other bag in my car by any chance? Would you go look and see? Yeah, please. I told you were going to participate this morning, so thank you. Maybe I did bring it, and maybe I just forgot to get it out of the car. Ugh. So there's an OIC curriculum. I don't make stuff up and go to France because I'm working with OIC. They've developed their biblical counseling curriculum. And and you'll see a man by the name of Mark Manimal. Mark Mann says, you're responsible for teaching these lessons in this module. Then you take their curriculum, and they're really big on saying, now here's our curriculum. Now you tweak it and make it yours. You make it you in what you present of our curriculum. A person there will translate it so it's well translated. It's in good French, or it's in good German, or it's in good wherever the country is, because as you'll see, here's where OIC is ministering. We're doing training in all these particular places, and we, of course, are involved in the ministry here in France. But these are all the other places that OIC is doing what I was allowed to do in France. Oh, by the way, anytime this morning, you can stop me anytime. You have a question or a comment you want to make, something's not clear, feel free to just do that right in the middle. You don't have to wait. We'll have a time at the end for a little Q&A, but feel free to interrupt anytime. So OIC in France, we served there with, I must have left it on, Mark and Barbara Mann. Mark is a pastor in Mount Juliet. He's a fellow pastor in Fire. We're part of Fire, the Fellowship of Independent Reformed Evangelicals. Mark pastors a church in Mount Juliet, and he is the director for Western Europe for OIC. And a number of years, he recruited us, asked us to come along and teach alongside him. OIC always likes there to be two pastors on the ground teaching. So OIC consists of four modules, and here's what Module 1 covers. Module 1, the goal for this module is to define a biblical sufficiency-based model of personal ministry as well as the nature of personal spiritual growth. In this module, the students that complete Module 1 will receive instruction in 17 specific areas of discipleship ministry. The way OIC is designed is it's supposed to be like a spring, fall for 2 years. Go in the spring, module one, go in the fall, module two, go in the spring, the next year, module three, go in the fall, next year, module four. You'll see in the report how COVID just blew that completely up, especially because they were really strict in France of how things went. So module two, biblical counseling is how you do it. The first one is sort of an introduction to it. Second one is how you do it. The goal for this module is to teach the process and the procedures of biblical counseling. And the student who completes module two will receive instruction in 20 areas specifically related to how to wisely and effectively counsel someone biblically. Module three, how do you do it more effectively? In this particular module, we take specific cases like biblical counseling for depression, biblical counseling in marriage issues, biblical counseling for anxiety, biblical counseling for worry. The goal for this module is to teach how to think about and address common counseling issues from God's perspective. The student who completes module three will receive instruction in a variety of common issues people face, including in their marriages, family, work, relationships, and other key areas. So we're looking at specific areas of counseling and teaching on those in module three. And in module four, which we just completed this past 3 or 4 weeks ago, how do you share it? How do you then go about starting counseling ministries in your church and spreading the news to others about that? So the goal for this module is to provide church pastors and elders with the tools to develop a local church biblical counseling and training center. And the pastor or elder who completes this module four will learn how to prepare and cultivate their church for starting and growing a vital discipleship ministry, including biblical counseling. And this is where, again, thanks to you, so much significant kingdom work is being done, because there is a man on the ground where in a church we've been going to who has taken this ball and running with it in his church. And he's doing exactly what sometimes it takes a long time to get the outworking of module four up and going, but not with this particular man and not in this particular church. So here's how COVID sort of blew it up. Module one was in the fall of 2019, which means we should have gone back for module two in the spring of 2020. And COVID hit. So we didn't go back in the spring, and we didn't go back in the fall of 2020, and we didn't even go back in the spring of 2021, but we finally made it back for module two in the fall of 2022. By the way, the first module was done in a town, a suburb of Paris called Évry, France. It was a good congregation. A lot of people you see in this picture have gone through all of the four modules. Some dropped out, some lost interest, some moved away, or whatever the case might be, but a goodly number of these people you see in module one, 2019, were with us, and that's something you'll see significant also because there's a graduation at the end of module four, and these folks graduated. But we changed venues in the fall of 2022, a town that was very close to this one, but just another town. The French R is very difficult for me to pronounce. The Spanish R is perfectly fine, but Rhys Orangis. I just say Rhys Oranges. That's where we went for module two in fall 2022. Jane and I did not go this past spring. We didn't go in spring of 2023 for module three because we had two grandbabies born back to back within 10 days, son graduating from college, and I think there was something else. But so we didn't, there was a man in my place for the spring of 2023. But we were able to go back for the module four in Rhys Orangis, France, for the fourth module. Here's a couple of slides you've seen before. Here's the venue. I'm not wanting you to see me. I want you to see this sign right there. So that sign right there, that just shows our venue in Rhys Orangis. We were doing this training at the Evangelical Baptist Church of Rhys Orangis, a very exceptional church in France. As you know, France is as liberal as it can be. It's one of those countries where there's extremely, extremely small percentage of evangelicals. And yet there in south of France, in this suburb, at the Evangelical Baptist Church in Rhys Orangis, there is a thriving, flourishing church. And it's just so sweet to be affiliated with this particular pastor and his elders and their congregation. Something we were praying about this particular time, it's because just before we went, about a week and a half before we went, maybe 2 weeks, the war in Israel broke out. And if you remember this before, this building right here, I'll blow up that little sign. That little sign says mosque. Right next to the mosque, thanks be to God, there's a police station. Now, if you're going down the street, in fact, just through this little corner right there, you can see the top windows in the Baptist church. So mosque, police station, Baptist church. And if you go on down the street, if you remember, it goes like this. There's a synagogue. There's the police station. So the mosque is just down there. And then there's the Evangelical Baptist Church of Rhys Orangis that shares in the middle there, that shares this patio with the synagogue. And a few of you said to me before we went, are you still going? You knew about this. You knew how the synagogue was just down the street from the mosque. And we were going to leave that call up to the folks on the ground in France. We were not going to make the call like, let's get chicken-hearted and leave because it could be a little dangerous over there. It was like, if you guys tell us not to come, we won't come. If you guys tell us to come, we'll be there. And that's how it worked out. As it is, just the week before we got there, the synagogue had been vandalized. Someone had gone in and cut the internet out from the synagogue, which also cut the internet from the church as well. But that was the extent of the vandalism. And surprisingly, during that time in France, unlike here, pro-Palestinian protests were banned. That really surprised us. The long and short of it is, we didn't have the first inkling of any problem or threats or scares of any kind whatsoever. It was a perfectly good week, and we thank the Lord for that, because that was something we had prayed about here, and the Lord was gracious in that. So Mark and I share the teaching. Again, I meant to bring the booklet to show you the notes of stuff that we work through in any given module. Mark will teach some of the lessons. I will teach some of the lessons. You saw how there were 17 points, so it'd be like half and half, or 20 points, and it would be half and half, something like that, of the material in any given module. And then, so we share the teaching. The gentleman over there, to my right in the picture, or to Mark's right, is our translator. Neither of us speak French, so all the lessons are translated. And this is a good pastor. He's a good man in Paris itself, and he lived for a number of years in the States, and he's an excellent translator. Sometimes the pastor of the church, who also speaks English well, would translate. And then sometimes Mark and I team teach. We might team teach on any given issue, or we might team teach by a Q&A time or a coaching time, and that's pretty typical to do that as well. One of the things that we did this year as a hands-on kind of thing is we did quite a bit of role-playing. And this is one of the things I left home in that little book, and I apologize for that. But this couple on this side over here, they were like Tim and Emily, I think. Great French names, right? Tim and Emily. We should have translated those. And Tim and Emily were having serious marital issues in their marriage. He was a hothead. This was all simulated. It wasn't true. These are as a godly couple right there. You'll hear more about them in a moment. But Tim is a real hothead. She's trying to get help for it. And then this brother over on this side is one of the men who's gone through all four modules of the training. And he was doing the counseling in front of everybody. And he did an excellent job in doing that. You could tell they were really getting the concept of biblical training and heart issues and all those kinds of things. Here was another situation. And the man here with the striped shirt on, he was playing the role of a young man who was really struggling with pornography. And the brother on this side with the microphone, again, was the one doing the counseling. And you see Mark sitting down here, and you can see just see me. You can see my notebook in my lap there, because in this particular time, what was happening is Mark and I were sitting down to the side while this gal, Olivia, was translating what was going on up there. So they were doing the counseling. We were hearing, you know, are they making a good point? Did they use a good passage here? Are they getting off track? Right? And we would then, that's one of the times where in a team teaching kind of way, we would help and critique and coach along the way in both of those cases. So we did that for a couple of different days. And while we're doing that, they're working in groups, taking notes about what they're hearing in the counseling session. And then they're going to give their feedback and their input. And it's just a time where we're having a mic in our hands, and we're not only responding to the people who are giving the counseling on the stage, but we're responding to those who are giving points that they've learned or things they would have added to the counseling session. So it's that role play feedback thing that was just real, you can't say live hands-on, but as much as role playing can be lives hands-on, that kind of situation. So these girls are working on it on their end. Here again, groups just working on these case studies and how they would have responded to them. And then thankfully, there's always plenty of time just for counseling of the students, of sitting down and talking with them. What about their lives? What about their ministries? There's always plenty of time to do that. And these are two good men that we're able to do that with. Here's another situation where the man in the middle was our host, husband, family. The man on this side is Baptiste, the pastor of the church. And we're just sitting on some steps there talking about practical issues, about church issues or counseling issues. And thank God for Google Translation. If you're not familiar with Google Translation, there's an app for that. And it is amazing, the power of Google Translation. It's just amazing. You can just, you know, turn on that app. How are you doing today? I hope you are well. And then it just gives it to you in French. Right. And you can even work it so it says it out loud to that person in French. It's so powerful. You can carry on a conversation between your two phones. You can just like, I can say what I want to say in English. It's translated immediately into French. He can say what he wants to say in French. It's immediately translated into English. We're just carrying on a conversation. It just happens to be through our phones. And it's a really handy tool. Probably y'all know much more about that than I do. But if you don't, and if you're traveling out of the country somewhere, I don't know, did you have that in Mongolia? Were you able to use that? Were you able to use the Google translation app in Mongolia? Okay. There are lots of ladies in the training. Obviously, they're not pastors of the church, but a lot of these ladies were ladies in the church, in Batista's church, taking training, or they were other from other churches surrounding Paris. And you know, we want them to go back and encourage their pastors. If let's say there's another training session coming up, to encourage their pastors to come and be involved with it. But just a number of ladies. And you can see right in the middle, Jane, and this is Barbara Mann. And they have a week-long ministry with all of these different ladies throughout the week. This is Marlene. She is our hostess in our home. You saw her husband a second ago in this picture. Moses, and then Marlene. They were our host parents in the house that we stayed in there. You hear more about them in a few minutes. One of the significant things that's happening with this particular group, it could be it's happening in other OIC training regions. I'm not aware of that, but a burden that we've had on our heart that you've been somewhat a part of is putting good reading material in these people's hands. This is particularly, actually, it's a burden of Jane's. And Jane will use, if she has a little discretionary income somewhere sometimes, she'll put that discretionary income towards books for these people in this group. And then there's one other individual in this congregation. Jane was just telling this individual once about this sort of burden that she has, and I won't mention this person's name, but this person says, I want to help you with that. I want to be a part of that work. This is why we're saying thanks be to God and thanks be to you, because what you're seeing in this picture wouldn't happen. As far as I know, it's not happening in any other group around the world. Could be with OIC, because a couple of people have a burden to say, let's put good literature in these people's hands. And this particular individual from our church, every once in a while, will come up to Jane and say, here's some money for the folks over there in France. They were like children on Christmas morning, getting these books that have been translated, counseling sources that have been translated into French, or theological sources have been translated into French. People in this church are making that happen. That's the kind of impact you're having that maybe you weren't even aware you were having. That's why I started off saying, thanks be to God and thanks be to you. That's an impact. That's an amazing impact. They can build this little library of things, of sources they can go to, because look, we're not there, but Jay Adams is, David Powlison is, Paul Tripp is. They've gotten stacks of those little counseling books that we have out on the foyer. You should be picking those up. They've been able to have those in their hands. So we thank the Lord for that. They were so happy to get these. So you've heard me talk about Pastor Batiste. I think I've got an arrow coming down on his head right there. That's the man who is he's not the sole pastor. He's one of the elders in this church, but he's sort of like the full-time elder in the evangelical Baptist Church in Reese, Orange East. Dynamo, dynamite, go-getter. He's doing everything he can to establish good, solid training in his church. A lot of people you're seeing in these pictures are members of his church. Along with this other girl you see in a moment whose name is Olivia. And here's what's happening in France. Mark and I are there, not because Mark and I paid our way there. Mark and I didn't pay our ways there. Mark's church helped him to get there. You helped us to get there. We were ministering there in these modules of training. We poured them into Baptiste. And Baptiste says, we need this in France. We need this in this church. And Baptiste is pouring into this man, this other gentleman in his church, and lots of others in his church. You see what you're doing there? Isn't that amazing? You allowed us to go over. We're pouring into him. He's pouring into them, doing that multiplication ministry that you want to see happening. So praise the Lord. And we're going to pray later on for Pastor Baptiste. Well, here's what was particularly significant about this particular module, this particular trip over, is that there was an OIC graduation. When people go through all four modules, they're on their way. At least they receive an OIC certification in biblical training, biblical counseling, and they're on their way to moving towards a complete ACBC certification in biblical counseling as well. So this is just some pictures of the graduation service. There's Baptiste. He went through all four programs. He got his. There's Moises. Moises, our host father, got his. And it was good to get a big bear hug from Moises. We consider each other to be very, very close bosom pals and brothers in the Lord. Love that man. Another picture. And then this little gal down here. I'll mention both these. This little girl is from Madagascar. She's living in Paris, and she went through all four modules. Wonderful girl. She gave Jane a hat from Madagascar that I tried to get Jane to wear it this morning to church, but she wouldn't wear it. But kind of very colorful. And then you heard me mention the name Olivia a couple of times. This is Olivia. She's from Ireland, but she's been a missionary with her husband for many, many years in France. And Olivia, along with, is in Baptiste's church. And at least on the female side of things, Olivia has as much interest, as much gumption, as much energy as Pastor Baptiste has in establishing this ministry in and around Paris. And she's a very, very key individual as well. So OIC graduation. And then this picture just shows all the people that started module one, finishing up in module four, standing up and showing their certificates of graduation. That's a praise moment right there. And again, I'm belaboring this point because I'm belaboring it on purpose. You are behind that photo right there. That photo is because of you. Allowing us to go over for module one, module two. You can go for module three, but going for module four. And here are these, 20 or so people that made it all the way through the program who are fully committed to God's word and fully committed to the sufficiency of God's word and fully committed to ministering to people according to the sufficiency of God's word, and then spreading that out in churches around France. This little lady right here is interesting. She's a soprano in the Paris Opera with the Paris Symphony. She's a soprano singer. And there she was in our training, good Christian woman. There was the group that finished. If we were going back to that module one, I could sort of poke the pointer around different people and show you, but these are the ones who finished all four of the modules there in France. Great, great group of people. So, it's not all work when we go to France. This is Olivia and her husband, Abdul. They've been missionaries together in France for a long time. Mark and Barbara, myself and Jane, two of their sons, and Olivia and Abdul's daughters taking the picture. And they served us a very French meal this particular evening. It's called raclette. I can't say that. I completely butchered that. But you see these two little black pans on the table there. I think we had this at Rex and Julie's one time or something similar to it. But these are little hot plates, and this is some kind of pretty stinky cheese on these plates right here. And you take your little wooden paddles and put some of that stinky cheese in here, and it melts that. And then you take that out, and you put some of this charcuterie kind of stuff onto it, and it always has boiled potatoes that go with it. And it's kind of a fondue kind of thing. It's very French. That was a fun but labor-intensive meal, because each person has to do their own little thing. But what was you laughing about? What? Yeah, it was labor-intensive meal, yeah.
By the way, that's nothing like that.
Okay. Was it good? Did you?
It was interesting.
Did you hear me say stinky cheese? Yeah, but you do what you got to do, right? You don't. On the foreign field, you don't turn up your nose when people say, "Come eat our food," do you, Eleanor? No, you don't do that. This is our host family. You've already met Moise and Marlene, and their oldest daughter. Oldest son, next son, and Nicia. And they're not a particularly well-to-do family. And yet, they just roll out the carpet for us. I mean, Moise and Marlene give up their bedroom for us while we're there. And so, because they're not a particularly well-to-do family, a pizza night out for them, it's a very, very rare occasion. We've done this for we've stayed with this family for the last two times we've been there, and we love them. We love them. They love us. We have a great time in their home with Google Translate. And Grace Baptist Church provided pizza for Moise and Marlene. You're there again. You're in that picture. And you bless that family. And they were very, very grateful. And it was good pizza. It was really good pizza. So pizza night with the host family. This is us with Moise and Marlene with a couple of their younger kids. Jane, I can never say this word very well. What this place is called, a what? Patisserie? Patisserie, probably. I want you to do a little, sleuthing? I want you to do a little sleuthing on this picture. Look carefully at it. So we're at this patisserie. By the way, what I wanted to do right here is I wanted to pack up every single person in Grace Baptist Church, and I wanted to bring you to this place. Because this patisserie makes our bakeries look like sad little places. This is where you get the French pastries. You have a neighbor who can make a Japanese French pastry chef, right, brother? We need to get to know her. Are you kind of got an eye with this picture here a little bit? Look at Moise's. There's a red jacket. We pulled two tables together. So you see a table where Marlene and Jane are sitting with Nicia. And then we pulled another table over. You see where Moise is standing with the red jacket? What's the little guy's name? Nye. See where Nye's sitting? And you can see there's Nicaea, the little girl. And you'll see just a little front part of her in the next picture. So you're kind of getting a setting there? See where you see who's sitting where? If you're interpreting that picture right, who got the biggest pastry that day? Jane! Jane got the biggest pastry that day. Right? See, there's the red jacket. There's the red jacket. Jane sitting across the red jacket. There's the biggest pastry across in the red jacket. I think she shared it. You shared it, didn't you? Yeah, I just wanted to pack all of y'all up and take you there. That's what I would love to have done. Some new servants on the field. This was Tim and Emily who were in that counseling role-playing session. What's great about Tim and Emily is guess where they are today? They're in France. Guess where they're going to be next week? In France. Guess where they're going to be next year? In France. They're living over on the eastern part of France because they are part of a church plant with a man by the name of John Glass in Geneva, Switzerland. So they're going to be going back and forth between Geneva and France, but they speak French. They've been missionaries there for a number of years, and they were back in the States for a while, but they've gone back. They've basically our age, kids are here. I'm not sure about grandkids, and Frank and Barbara have gone back to France. And what's really neat about that is they're also fully trained in biblical counseling, also ACBC certified, which you want people like that being there because they just sort of maybe at some point eliminate the need for us to be there. Let me just dogtail on that. So in module 4, we finished with OIC training. They're asking us to come back, not for a module 5, because OIC doesn't have a module 5. But they're asking us to come back to do specific training on marriage and parenting and counseling. And whether that will materialize or not, we don't know. But we're grateful for people like Frank and Barbara who are there on the ground who can give that kind of solid training. Then here's a young couple. This particular young man grew up in the church in Reese, Oranges. And on the Sunday we were there, because we try to be in the church where we're training on the Lord's Day, he was the one preaching on that day. And he grew up in that church, so he's from France, French speaker. Came over to the States for some theological training. Was there with Mark Dever and the folks in Washington doing their training, their pastoral internship kind of training in Washington. Met this gal. You kind of know the details about this. This is an American girl. Tell us about how it's a small world in meeting these folks. You have the microphone? Caleb's going to.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. She's learning French right now, and they are actually missionaries in Belgium, but they've been asked back for the weekend for him to preach. She knew friends of my children in Chattanooga. Her best friend goes to the same church as Ruthie and Nathaniel.
We're meeting them in Paris.
In France. Right? Yeah, and then she also knows my daughter Allie's pastor in Nashville because he was an intern with before her husband. So it was kind of an amazing connection that the Lord had there that Sunday, that one Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah. He preached a solid, solid message. Again, he's a well-trained young man, French speaker. The right place, there could be no better place for him in the world to be than right there in France or in a French-speaking country. And that's right where they've gone back to. So we thank the Lord for those new servants on the field that, yes?
They're in Belgium now.
Belgium, okay. Thank you. But certainly has the potential of making our ministry obsolete there. And this is where we were 3 days ago, 3 weeks ago today, with these saints in that church. And that's just unbelievable. That is unbelievable for a French-speaking Baptist church. There were probably about, I couldn't get everybody in, but there were probably close to 170 or so people there that Sunday morning. All ages, white, black, different countries, different nationalities, all French speakers. And this particular door, That's the door that goes out that shares the patio with the synagogue. So you step out that door, and you're on that patio. That just gives you a little point of reference there. Great church, great liturgy, great order of service, good singing, lots of prayer, scripture reading. I mean, kind of like being here in some ways. And this is the church that Pastor Bautiste pastors. And again, thanks to you, he's a man that we've rubbed elbows with and touched hearts with in France. And he's the one who's so excited about blossoming this ministry across France. Olivia and her family are in this church as well. Her entire family are in this church. This is not a recent picture. This was the picture from last time we were there. And you probably won't remember this, but I told you when we were at Bautiste House on the Sunday evening after the training was over, we'd been to church that day, and then we got together for this little meal at Bautiste House. Here's Bautiste and then Olivia also, Mark and Barbara, myself and Jane. If you remember last time I gave this report, I said something special happened this evening. Something significant happened this evening because Bautiste and Olivia, a fire got started underneath them. And they said, we want to take this thing. And there were a full 2 years, 3 years ahead of where we would want someone to be in module four. They said, we want this fire. We want to fan the flame of this fire here in our church and here in our part of France. They've done that. They've got a lot of horsepower. And they have started an organization called Biblical Counseling France. And I meant to bring my little bag that they gave away. I meant to bring my coffee mug that they gave away this morning. I forgot both of those right by my chair. But coffee mugs, bags, this is all their material. You know, we've got Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands translated, Paul Tripp's. They've got, it looks like David Powell, no, Timothy Lane and Paul David Tripp on How Change Occurs. And they're planning now a national conference they're planning a European conference, for biblical counseling. And that is just so far and above and beyond where you would expect a pastor in a church to be at this point in time. And this picture has you behind it and your ministry in France. We're very, very grateful. We should be very, very humbled and very, very grateful for how a fire is being fanned there in this work. Jane, any addition you want to make about that?
Hello. I have some cards with Olivia's name on, and she definitely is she's the engine. Bautiste is totally on board, but she is actually working. She's actually a missionary with OIC now. So she's really on fire for this, and we really need to pray for Olivia. And she's doing a lot of counseling. The Lord's meeting her in a lot of ways, and she wants, and I don't know whether Donnie was maybe going to mention, but in January, they're already starting Module 1. They are going to start training others in Module 1 in January, which is absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Bautiste and Moise, the pastor and the guy we stayed with, they're going to start doing the same training that we just did, but without translators, in French. And they've started this French Institute of Biblical Counseling. So we're very, very grateful for that. I started with this. I'm not ending yet, but again, thank you. Merci. Thanks be to God, and thanks be to you. But just for a few brief moments, there was a brief bucket list stop-off that I wanted to make if I could. And because, at least theoretically, this was Module 4, and at least theoretically, the last time we should be going to this group, until they said, can you come over and do some more, I thought, well, we're maybe not coming back. And a bucket list that I've kind of had would be to one day stand at the foot of the Reformation Wall in Geneva, Switzerland. Geneva, Switzerland was Calvin's town. It was Calvin's city. It's where so much of, we call ourselves Reformed Baptists, that our history goes back to. And so we went to Paris, took an hour flight over, just an hour flight over to Geneva, Switzerland, and we were able to stand at the Reformation Wall. One thing significant about the Reformation Wall is it has, from one end to the other, starting down at this end and going all the way to the other, you're not seeing the whole wall, etched in these stones are these words, post tenebris luce, which means after darkness light. After the darkness of the medieval church, all those things, through the Reformation, light shone in words, the word of God, light shone in Europe. So after darkness, light. Get a closer look at those individuals at the Reformation Wall. So what you have here is Calvin, Farrell, Beza, and the wall, it's written in Bezi, Knox, and Donnie, and Jane. So, in case you were wondering about that. Well, there was the bucket list. We were able to stand there. It was really cool. There, you see this post tenebris luce all over the place. This was over a pulpit. And, of course, the light sort of symbolic there beside it was after darkness, light. If you're curious about this, I probably should not have had my arm around it touching it like that. That was probably against the rules. But that little sign beside it says Calvin's chair. He was sitting right behind these columns where it seemed to be he would just get up from that chair, walk around the corner, and go to his pulpit. That was kind of interesting. And then the burial site. Calvin was actually buried in a non-marked grave by his own choice. He said, I don't want any celebrity surrounding my life after I'm gone. None whatsoever. So I want to be buried in an unmarked grave. Somebody obviously found it or knew where it was, and now it is marked. And that was kind of interesting to see that. See the building right in the middle? That one? Surprisingly, we were walking down this cobbled street in Geneva, and surprise, surprise, we just happened to see this placard on this particular building, and that's an evangelical, reformed church in Geneva. It's the evangelical Swiss-speaking or French-speaking Evangelical Church of Geneva. Not the one that John Glass is starting. It just... My family has a nickname for me. They call me Curious George. So we're looking at this sign. There's this big wooden door on there. And I just go... Bop, 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 bop. And these two gentlemen show themselves. We were able to go upstairs to the auditorium. The pastor in the red shirt is the retiring pastor of this church. The pastor in the blue sweatshirt is the incoming pastor. And we just had a sweet time of fellowship with these two brothers in Christ right there. Just in Providence, providentially came upon their church building, providentially saw the sign, knocked on the door, providentially they were there. We joined, not in this picture, because we were all joining hands. We were in a circle with our hands together. It was such a blessing to pray for these two men and to pray for their church in Geneva, Switzerland, which we were able to do. So prayer request, OIC worldwide, OIC in France, the spread of the truth of God's word in France, Pastor Baptiste and Olivia, the French Institute for Biblical Counseling, the church there that you saw, and the new church plant in Geneva, Switzerland that Frank and Barbara are part of. If you just write those down or take a picture of that or something like that, and maybe remember these in prayer occasionally. I really have run out of time to allow for questions because I want to eat into Pastor Chris's time. But hit us up if you want to afterwards for any comments or questions you want to make about what you've seen. We'd love to interact with you. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, thank you. Thank you to you. Thank you for the saints at Grace Baptist Church. Thank you for the saints at Reese Orangies. Lord, they're having supper right now. They've been to church today. We pray for your blessings upon them. Pray for your blessings upon Baptiste and Olivia and the ministry there. Thank you for allowing us to go. And Lord, send your word forth for your glory to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll be dismissed for coffee.